Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a Friday episode of Private Parts. Happy Mental Health Awareness Week. We have Josh Roberts.
Hello. Happy Friday.
In the intro. You're just in the intro, though.
Yeah, just in the intro, but I'll take it. You got to take what you can get these days. So used to get a whole episode. Now I'm doing the intros.
No, because it's because also
next time it's mental health. Collecting your dry cleaning.
Yeah, I know.
Jobs around the house.
Yeah, you might
pick you up from the airport. just keep me in the mixer. Keep me on the airwaves.
No, Josh, listen. You know how much I adore you and how much I respect you and what a good friend you are. I think we're just great friends to each other, I would say. We have that amazing connection where I think someone would say, you know Jamie, or you know Josh. And I'm like, yeah. But we have a really deep connection for some reason.
Well, I'll tell you why I think it is. Because people will often say to me, like, are you actually that good friends with them? I'm like, well, yes, because the nature of our, when we became friends was like when you were having a difficult time, I was having a difficult time. Yeah. You sort of forge a relationship in those kind of circumstances.
Yeah.
And then, you know, chatting and podcasts and things like that, but about quite deep things.
I would always say that actually over the past few years, I've probably had deeper conversations with you than I've had with anyone else.
Even your lovely wife to be.
Maybe not my lovely wife to be, but with definitely men, I would say. Because we're men.
Mostly with men, it's just physical with you, isn't it?
Always physical.
All right.
But it's Mental Health Awareness Week. What does that mean to you? It means you're busy because you're the mental health man. Let's get busy. That really anxious bloke who wrote that book.
Yeah, it is really busy, but it's really, really exciting because it's a week in which people who ordinarily don't really give a shit about mental health actually sort of sit down and have a think about it. Mm. So I'm talking like, you know, senior people in companies and in governments and things like that actually take a moment to have a think about it. So it's really, really exciting.
What has surprised you from all the stuff you do? I know you do your talks and you do your books. What has surprised you recently about
you've
experienced?
What has really taken me by surprise has been the acceleration that the pandemic has caused in the public conversation about mental health.
Really?
Yeah. Because it was moving at quite a serious pace anyway with the, you know, the princes were talking about it and celebs and blah, blah, blah. But I feel like the pandemic just kind of fast forwarded us through like 6 or 7 years, and people who would otherwise be a bit skeptical or maybe cynical about it, you know, the sort of snowflakes, that's those sort of people have now come to realize how important it is. And it was really, really exciting. There's so much stuff in our world at the moment to be, you know, down in the dumps about. But mental health is one area where we're really moving really quickly and
that's
and
great. What a juxtaposition as well.
Yeah, it's cool,
right? It's a place where you should be down in the dumps. But also I always think what we do with our chats about it and on our voicemail episodes is we kind of try and make a bit of light of it as well at the same time because we've experienced it. So
yes,
it's very easy to go very dark and heavy in these things, but actually trying to keep it light and juggling the light with the dark is a good thing.
Well, I always think as well, everyone has challenges with mental health, but we have a particular challenge around men and mental health.
Yeah.
And trying to engage blokes around it. And I don't think you engage people by being, You know, no, it's got to be upbeat and also just reflects the reality. Like there's, when you have an anxiety disorder or whatever it is, yeah, there's really, really shit times, but there's also, it's still possible to have fun in the middle of all of that.
Yeah, and people don't think you can.
Yeah.
We had our bonus episode, which was on Wednesday. So if you guys haven't gone and listened to that, it was me, Josh, Mitt on the bonus episode. Mitt is on the actual episode today. Josh is just doing the intro.
I hadn't met him before. He's a very good looking man.
He's a good looking dude, isn't he?
Do you think I could get, I think he only had one button done up though.
You notice that?
Well, you know, I've got my little shirt on here. I'm thinking of plunging.
When you met me, what was your first opinion? Was it the same thing? Good looking?
Teeth. Wow.
Teeth.
Yeah.
Straight to the teeth.
Straight to the teeth.
Love that. Nice little white pearls. We have Ben West on the podcast today. Now, you haven't met Ben West, but no. I'll explain to you. Ben is 22 years old. When he was 17, his brother took his own life at 15 years old, having just been diagnosed with clinical depression. Awful. He explains it in the episode today. He's now an activist. He's written a book. The book is called This Book Could Save Your Life. He's a really great dude. And he came on, he was open, he was honest, and he was just talking about all these things. And at 22 years old, I was doing sweet F-all, and he's doing a lot of cool things. So yeah. He was a pretty impressive dude, I think.
I can't wait to hear it. It sounds like an amazing story.
Before we kick off the episode, I think we should just give a little warning that this has a lot of talk about mental health, a lot of talk about suicide.
Yeah.
And if this is triggering for anyone, perhaps be warned, maybe don't listen to it. Or if it is, we put loads of links in the description where you can go to look for help. I'm going to say that before we start. It's an amazing story, an amazing episode. It's Mental Health Awareness Week. So yeah, here we go. You ready for it?
Can't wait. Top's off.
Let's get that off. Should we get the baby oil? You don't want it?
No.
All right.
Not today.
Enjoy the episode with Ben West on Private Parts. So I think there's definitely a full moon at the moment, by the way.
Are you an astrologist?
Well, I'm just guessing. And Ben, you probably don't know things about me, but I'm very in tune with my body.
Oh yeah?
Oh yeah.
And the cycle of the moon.
Yeah.
Yep. There's a difference between in tune with your body and just loving yourself.
No, that's not narcissism. No,
it's just a good thing.
It's not narcissism. I'm just in tune with my body. I know.
Okay, in what way?
Okay, well, I got back from Portugal, which was a trip with my fiancé. Yeah.
Yeah. Well done.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah, I am getting married.
Wait.
Yeah. Why did I say it like that? Sound like David Brent for a second. Yeah. Getting married. I got back and do you sleep well, Ben? Do you
sleep well?
Do you sleep well?
Yeah.
You do?
I think so. Good 8 hours a night.
Oh, you get a good 8 hours?
I think
hours,
so. Love that. I reckon average 6 to 7. Yeah.
Average?
I reckon.
Ouch.
It's hard to get that 8 hours.
But that's when you're on the come down, right? From all that alcohol you've been drinking.
What's that?
Yeah, that's exactly what, then you fall asleep.
My body's a temple now, you know that.
Yeah, I get it, right. So anyway, I got back from Portugal and the top where I sleep in our bedroom, at the top is really hot. Mm. Oh my God, it gets boiling. And I had a bad night's sleep, dreaming, heavily dreaming. Mm. I woke up the next day and I was like, there's something in the air. There's something with the moon. I then didn't sleep that well last night again. And then I said the same thing before we started the podcast. I said the same with the moon. You said, Alex.
I think this bank holiday just gone. So when people were listening, it would have been a while ago, but there was a new moon, I think, which is apparently a good time to sort of manifest and think about your new direction in life. And
that's what we should do.
Yeah. New beginnings.
So do you believe in moons? And the stars.
I sit in the sky. That's about the only one I believe in. You're a flat earther, aren't you? Absolutely, flat earth. Got the ice wall.
But I do. What's the ice wall?
So, no, the flat earth. So come across like a flat earth now, don't I? You know when they have the flat earth like at the sides?
Yeah.
Because everyone's like, oh, but you can fall off. They say that you've got the ice. There's like an ice wall that you can't climb over to make it seem like it's an end, right?
That is absolutely load of shit.
So don't believe in the moon, but it's definitely flat.
Well, the thing that I found out recently, which blew my mind, is that we don't, the tide doesn't go in and out. Okay, bear with me.
Yeah.
If I had a diagram I could show people, I would, but maybe.
I don't think you could.
I could?
I don't think it would help.
I could. So the world is obviously round. Yeah. Okay,
it's actually not round.
It is round.
It's more like an egg shape.
I think it's flat,
Oh my God. Okay, well, the world is round, right? Yeah. It looks round, and we see it. The water goes on the outside of the world,
but it has two bulges either side of it. So look at, think of it like a rectangle circle. The world then spins within this rectangle circle. So when the world spins, it's the tide not going in and out. It's just reaching the bulge and then going away from the bulge and then reaching the bulge and going away from the bulge. The tide isn't going in and out with the bulge. The bulge is here on either end like that. The world is just spinning in it. So you get to the bulge and that's when the tide's out. And when you get to the tide's in. Do you see what I mean?
I mean, from a practical sense, if I'm stood on a beach, the water does
go past me,
and it
no, it's not. Go... That's because you're hitting the bulge. Think about it. If you're hitting that, look, I'm going to show you the diagram for anyone listening.
We need to see the diagram because was
what does. Here we go. Hold on. Does the tide go in and out? Here we go. Okay, here we go. No one's going to freaking. Okay, because the Earth rotates through two tidal bulges every lunar day. There you go. See?
Finish it.
Okay, hold on. Let me read. This is what it looks like, diagram-wise.
Yeah.
Okay. Bulges either side with the world in between.
Right.
The explanation is this. Because the Earth rotates through two tidal bulges every lunar day, coastal areas coastal areas experience two high and two low tides every 24 hours and 50 minutes. High tides occur 12 hours and 25 minutes apart. That's because it goes in the bulges, not because the sea's going in and out.
Where do you think the sea went?
I don't know.
Is that a plug at the bottom?
Is that not?
It's still it displacement doesn't... of water. It's still going from one place to another.
The world is spinning within it. It doesn't go in out. The water stays the same. Waves, obviously, but the water stays the same. It's just the world spinning, getting closer and closer to the bulge and then further away from the bulge.
Yeah, but what I'm saying in a practical sense is that water is not in the same place in relation to the ground.
It's the water's not going in and out. It's staying the same. Oh God. See, wow. There you go.
This is what I've signed up for.
How are you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm all good. Obviously, a moment of change with the moon, but no, really good. On the way here, I was on a train and the train carriage was full of a whole school trip full of like 7-year-olds. So it was quite a long morning.
Oh my God.
Sit down
and relax.
Under these lights. It's like getting a tan.
Yeah, dude. Can I just say before we start, congrats on all your success.
Thank you.
It's amazing. It must be a whirlwind for you, right?
Yeah, it's very, very weird. I mean, obviously, like I've been doing the mental health stuff, the mental health campaigning for just over 4 years now. And so almost this book feels like a really massive moment because it's like everything sort of come up to this point. So to get it out and obviously like what we were saying before is like to get the response that it's had in the last couple of weeks is just really, really fulfilling because I put so much work into this and to see it actually out there in the world helping people trying to understand this topic. It's really an amazing feeling.
Mental Health Awareness Week is coming up before we're recording this, before it's out, before Mental Health Awareness Week is here. I could say it for you because I think your story is just insane and it's just emotional and all these different things. Can you tell everyone who you are, your story and everything and why, you know, you've written this book that we're going to talk about?
Yeah. So, my story starts sort of 5 years ago. I was 16, 17 at the time and had absolutely no idea what mental health was. Absolutely no idea. I think it came up in the conversations a couple of times, and at like a school, I think we had a assembly on it once from some outside speaker. But I'd never really heard about it before. And then one day, September, 2017, after dinner, my mum kept me behind and she was like, Sam, my brother, who was 15, was diagnosed with clinical depression. And I was like, what is that? Mm-hmm. You know, that just meant absolutely nothing to me. And I never spoke to Sam about it. I never really crossed my mind that was the thing. In my mind, I was like, how can you be diagnosed with being sad? Just go for a run, go and play football, go and see your mates, go listen to some music. Just, you know, do what I would do if I had a bad day. And I didn't understand what that was. And January 21st, 2018, Sam took his own life, 15 years old, out of home. And it was me and my mum that found him. And that obviously is without a doubt, one of the worst things I will ever have to, the worst thing I'll ever have to experience in my life. That was absolutely awful. And I guess for me, you know, I never spoke to Sam about it. I never asked him if he was okay. I never did that. And in the days and weeks after he died, I just started to realize that actually, it wasn't just Sam that was struggling. Almost everyone I knew at school had something going on they weren't talking to people about. And you know, as the book goes into, I felt such a huge amount of guilt. Before Sam took his own life, we had dinner and we had an argument. And the last thing I ever said to him was, fuck off.
Oh my God.
And so I got into this position in that grief and that trauma, and I hadn't slept, and I wasn't eating, I was in such a bad way. And my brain just absolutely attached itself to this idea that it was all my fault.
Yeah.
Everything that happened is my fault. So when anyone, I saw anyone crying, or we had people coming around to the house that were crying, I was like, look at what I've done. And so basically, for me, I had to do something to sort of right the situation in a weird way. Mm. And campaigning and starting to get into mental health campaigning, trying to open that conversation up, trying to get people to talk about this, was in part because I wanted to help, but also because I needed something to prove to myself that actually I wasn't a shit person. Because for a long time, I can't even begin to tell you how much I hated who I was. Because of that situation, it was absolutely awful. That was a horrendous, horrendous year.
Oh my God, dude. I mean, it's hard to even, you know, in these situations, right? What do you say? And I think that's hard. We spoke to, we were talking about death and on the podcast yesterday. And it's interesting when someone goes through such a terrible experience of a loved one taking their own life or a loved one passing away or whatever it is. The person who is telling the story normally feels a bit worried because they're worried about someone else's reaction because they don't really know what to say. But you speak so openly and confidently with it, which is the way that it should be, right? That's, you know, what happened. 17 years old, 15 years old, you should not be experiencing things like that.
No, and my, so I'm one of three. I was the oldest. Sam was the middle one at 15. And then my brother Tom was 13 at the time.
God.
And that image as well is going to haunt me because obviously me and my mum found him. And then when the ambulance finally arrived, because I did CPR for 20, 25 minutes. When the ambulance finally arrived, I sort of, the paramedic took over and I went downstairs and Tom was at his bedroom door and he was just like, what's going on? And I just could not, I didn't know what to say. So I just said, oh, it's been an accident. Took him downstairs and tried to shield him from it. But I, you know, what can you do? I mean, that is awful. It's an awful thing. And this is part of what I want to do with the mental health campaigning stuff is I feel like we get to a point now where suicide is just talked about as something that happens.
I know.
It's in the statistics every year. It's like, this is, what, 6,000 people? Wait.
People talk about it as an sort of interesting fact. Mm. And I spoke to someone the other day and I said this before and it's so true. We all say, we got to get over this stigma of mental health. We got to get men talking about it, people talking about it. You know the statistics, these are this. What is different is you coming on a podcast, me going on an interview, someone having a chat and saying, I've got depression, I've got anxiety, labeling it on yourself and going, no, of course we get over the stigma of mental health, but actually I've got depression. And still we're in this stage where everyone talks about it and says, this is what we got to do and use the statistics. But no one actually, a lot of majority, and me for many years, couldn't stand up and say, by the way, I got severe anxiety. And that's what we have to change, right?
Yeah, I love it. I love when everyone's always like, oh, let's normalize mental health. Let's normalize the conversation. And then everyone goes quiet. It's like, we only do that if everyone's like, hey, this is the shit that's going on in my life.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be, I've got depression or I've got anxiety. You know, everyone, when I was starting in this, 2018, all the interviews, all the questions would be, have you struggled with your mental health? Have you had a mental illness? And I was always like, no. But actually, I came away thinking that. I was like, who hasn't struggled with their mental health? I can't name a single person I know that hasn't had something wrong. And normalizing the conversation around mental health doesn't mean people that have depression, anxiety, PTSD need to tell the world about that. It means every single person needs to just be honest when things aren't going well. Like, we live in a world that's so concentrate on always looking perfect. Social media, even schools and everything like that, it's all a competition. You've got to look perfect and you be better than everyone else. And actually, the way we sort of, I think the most important thing we do going forward is just being honest with each other and being like, actually, I had a really shit day today. And that normalizes the conversation about mental health in exactly the same way as going on an interview and being like, this is what's going on for me.
Yeah, it's like
someone asks you if you've ever broken a bone, right? Like that physical thing, you're like, yeah, I have. Try and make that the way if you say to someone, you know, have you ever had bad mental health? And people say, yeah,
I have. We had a guy come on the podcast who was talking about interview techniques, right? And or talking about who he likes in interviews. And in an interview, you sit there and someone would say, okay, what's your bad traits? And you go, oh, my bad trait is that I work too hard. Like you come up with those like shit sayings, right? He said that he hired one guy came in that stuck out in his mind. And this guy's a pretty high up VC. And he said that someone came in, or he spoke about the experience of this person. He came in and the guy sat with him and he said, how are you doing today? The interview said, how are you doing today? And he said, yeah, do you know what? My bulimia is actually kicked up. Mm. A guy, you know, my bulimia is kicked up and I'm not feeling that great at the moment, but I'm really excited for this interview. Just, you know, I wanted to share that with you just because why not? You know, and the guy was like, holy smokes, that is, you're being real like now. And actually we're so, I was always taught that vulnerability was weakness, that you shouldn't show your vulnerability because all these different things. But actually vulnerability is the most kind of open thing you can do. And the most kind of, if you're vulnerable with an individual, then you really connect on level. That's why when we do podcasts and you sit there in this medium and you chat to someone, you really connect because we're all being vulnerable.
Yeah.
Which opens up.
I think you're right. It's just that honesty. Because each time you're kind of not being true to yourself, and it like builds up over time. And those issues just become bigger and bigger. Whereas if you just spoke about it that one time, it would have probably, you know, it helps ease those issues.
Yeah. And also like everyone always asks me, how do we get people to talk about their mental health? I mean, you don't, I love how, and it goes into it in the book is like, everyone's always like, talk about your mental health, talk about your mental health, talk about your mental health. It's like, that is the most useless thing to tell people. If you want to get someone to talk, you're the one that needs to do the talking, not them. If you're vulnerable, they're going to feel safe to be vulnerable. The only reason I was in a position to want to, like I said, to get that point of view where I saw that everyone was sort of struggling with their own things was because I stood in front of the entire school, and I still don't understand how I did this. I stood in front of the entire school, and it was only like a couple of weeks after Sam died, and I sort of stood there and I was like, I absolutely poured my heart out. I said everything I needed to say in this memorial assembly thing, poured it out, and I was so vulnerable. And I'll tell you, in the weeks before that, all the messages I was getting were, I'm so sorry to hear what's happened. If you need anything, let me know.
Mm.
It was remarkable. After I had done that assembly, every single message that I was getting changed. And it wasn't, are you okay? It was, I'm not okay. Wow. And I need to talk to you. And that's when I realized that almost everyone I knew had something they weren't talking about. And I only got that insight because I stood up there and I was the one that was being vulnerable. And then suddenly I was the safe person to talk to. And I was just blown away by how many people were telling me they'd been diagnosed with depression, anxiety, eating disorders. I had two of my close friends tell me that they'd attempted suicide before and hadn't told anyone before.
Oh my God.
Everything just came out. And I managed to get that to come out because I was vulnerable first. And so everyone's like, oh, how do we get people to talk about mental health? It's like, you talk about yours. It goes back to this whole normalizing mental health
thing. The echo hits you.
You don't normalize anything if you don't make it normal, and you're the one that needs to make it normal, not the other person.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Dude, I saw this crazy statistic that I think is in your book or you sent us, which is 7% of children have attempted suicide. Is that right? Is that like 7% of kids?
Yeah.
What?
We did I was involved in a study in lockdown with Accenture that looked at mental health for students. And one of the, and it was a pool of 12,000 students, and they asked, have you had suicidal thoughts before? And it was 49%.
Oh my Jesus. God.
49% of 12,000 people.
Why is this happening?
Honestly, there's so many different reasons. I think we do live in a world that is very, very stressful. It's very pressured now. Like, I get it so much on Twitter. Of course, it's Twitter.
Yeah,
you go and do some...
That like, cesspit. Twitter is so evil. Oh my God,
it's
mean.
Awful, isn't it? You go and do something and everyone's like, oh, snowflake generation. I'm like, but hang on, you've got social media. You've got all this shit at school. You've got, I was talking to my mum the other day. I was like, my brother's about to do A-levels and you're talking about exams at school. You've got like 25 exams to do. And what's that about?
That's
fucking snowflakes. So 25 exams in 3 weeks, right? And then we've got social media to do. So where do you think it's coming from?
Yeah, it's the pressure. It's the pressure.
We don't have enough, like, just...
So true.
We don't have any breaks. Like, our brains are just constantly hit with shit. Like, there's no moments where we're just like, oh,
exactly.
I can just relax now. Like,
social media does, I swear to God, as well.
You finish school and then you're like, social media... until the next morning.
And also, you're just looking at other 20-year-olds and 19-year-olds who are, like, driving Lamborghinis. You're like, I'm not there yet.
But I...
And it's like, what?
Yeah. All these, like, influencers that are just portraying this image that they don't live. No one lives, right? It's just all fed back into it, and it's really damaging. But also, you know, for me, from my point of view, like, a large part of the book is sort of the campaigning stuff, and as well as, like, trying to help people understand mental health and my mental health and their mental health and all this stuff, there's very much an angle of what needs to change. And my view is, if you're going to increase pressure on people, then you have a responsibility to increase the support as well. And that goes for universities, it goes for government with schools. It's like, how have we got to a point where 25 exams got to a point where it's 25 exams and we haven't made any major steps to increase support in schools? How can that be possible? And same with universities. Like, the university pressure is just enormous,
really?
Especially after the last couple of years. Like, I was at uni, I actually left in 2020.
What uni were you at?
Liverpool.
Come on, there we go.
Party time. Such a good uni. I always said I loved uni. I loved everything about uni except uni. Hated my course. Yeah. I did aerospace engineering.
Hated it.
Yeah, I'm shit at maths. I got a U in my A-level mock maths. Sick. And no teacher was like,
you probably shouldn't be doing this.
Aerospace.
Rocket science.
I do not want to be in a rocket that you've built.
No, this is what I've said. Like, I think I've saved lives by dropping out of that course. Because imagine if I'd passed that degree and I'd gone to work for like Airbus or something, designed a plane, I've saved, 350 people's lives?
Liverpool's a good uni as well. Liverpool's a great uni.
It is good. It's a good city. Really, really good city. But it's like, the support at universities, for the most part, I think, is just not there. And you have so much pressure. And I left in 2020. That was during lockdown, because I was in a flat on my own and I was isolating on my own. Yeah. And I had 2 weeks in this flat. I literally got to third year and I turned up in my flat. And the day I arrived, I went to see some of my mates that were there. Because you're allowed like that bubble when you live in your own flat, right? So I went to see them. One of them was positive. All of us the next day. I was there literally immediately after having the best, such a good summer of freedom. Oh, I was there stuck in my flat for 2 weeks on my own.
No.
I know, it got to the end.
How did that make you feel? Were you all right with that? Or was it?
Oh, shit.
It's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I've obviously, you know, over the last few years, I've learned a lot about my mental health. I know how to cope. So I was sort of okay in that I could cope and knew how to like keep myself okay. So I did. I remember I was like walking up and down. So I worked out my room is about 10 meters long. So I said, if I run 500 lengths of my room, that's a 5K.
This is classic lockdown.
My God, that's what you were doing.
So I was doing, I'm so sorry to the person that lived below me. I apologize. But so I did a 5K in my room. That was fun. But there were so many days I got to the end of the day.
Was it?
It was.
That was fun.
So it was literally that, or staring out the window at Scousers.
Yeah, that's it. That's all you had.
Right? And it got to the end of one day and I was like, I haven't said anything out loud all day. And I just sort of, I was in bed and I was like, I haven't said anything all day. I just made this like noise, like.
Yeah, the tricky thing is that universities or schools or whatever it is, treating mental health is expensive, and so that the funding there's lacking in funding and understanding and all these different things. And actually, I think most of these places want a kickback of something, so it's quite hard for them to. I think it's quite hard to find the funding for it. Is that a problem?
Yeah.
Or no, is that me just being naive?
No, absolutely. I think there's certain things you can do that are expensive, obviously. You know, treatment for mental health, mental illnesses and mental health conditions is obviously expensive, but prevention is not.
As, I was going to say, it sounds like they need to look at the root and maybe change the system. Like,
there's a lot of things
obviously
that aren't
not,
expensive.
It's not working the system, that well,
but
right?
It's society, right? We talked about this the other day. It's society. You have to change society in order to prevent it.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously, but I mean, if we're looking just at education, I think they obviously need to revise, it's obviously a bad choice of word, but they need to revise the way that it's done, because if you look at the overall picture, it's making a lot of people unhappy and kill themselves because it's so pressured. Like, is that the best way to learn?
Yeah. So my first sort of campaign. So the way it works is my first thing that I did was a walk, a charity walk, tried to get all my mates from school to come on this walk. And then we tried to get people to talk. But then after that walk, my petition was to make mental health first aid part of teacher training to make it mandatory that all teachers that learn to become a teacher have to learn, which I still think is such a basic thing for a teacher to know, right? It's not actually that much to learn. So my petition was to make that part of teacher training. That got something like 350,000 signatures on it. It was massive.
Wow.
Led me to Downing
Street. Is that on
Facebook? That's on change.org. So that was like that was my big one. And so the government last September changed the law to require all schools to teach about mental health in PSHE, right? Every key stage, so all the way through primary, secondary, blah, blah, blah. But they haven't forced teachers to have training. So in the actual criteria for this...
They're teaching it, but
they're not actually taught how to teach it.
They don't know what they're teaching.
So in the criteria for the new curriculum that says this is why students need to learn about mental health, they say it's so that students can notice and help people that might be struggling. And I'm like, teachers?
What the
Do they
hell?
Not need the same? So you've got, and the PSHE Association did a bit of like a report into it, and they were like, actually, we're almost risking making the problem worse by having a teacher who, let's face it, a lot of teachers have mental health issues themselves because the job is
stressful.
Insanely hard.
Yeah, stressful, totally.
We're having a teacher that's not trained, going in, talking about this stuff. And we've all been in the sex ed classes when you get some blue dildo come out and you're putting a condom on.
You had a blue dildo?
Oh, it was about this big as well.
Someone in our class fainted when they put the condom on. He just collapsed on the floor. We were like, yes.
Through excitement.
Yeah. Wow.
What?
So yeah, right. So, but that's... No one took anything away from those lessons, did we? I mean, I remember someone got slapped in the face.
That was it.
That's all I remember from those lessons. Yeah. And the risk is if we have the same approach to mental health. I mean, imagine if we have a botched job conversation about anxiety and the person in the corner, because statistically, I think it's 3 or 4 students in every classroom have a mental health condition.
What?
So 3 or 4 students are going to sit there being like, everyone's laughing at this. And just make them feel more isolated. So that's the risk. And that's why teachers need to be trained. Thank you.
I freaking love that, dude. That is insane. Your book as well, the title of it is so good. That this book is going to save your life, right? That is the title.
Yeah, this book could save your life. Yeah.
That title for a book is so good. That's punchy, it's bold, it's out there. How did you come up with the title? How did that happen?
So it kind of comes back to the reason I wanted to write a book, to be honest. Because I always used to say, I wish everyone could experience what I've experienced, met the people I've met, and I had the conversations I've had without having to have gone through the awful experience that losing Sam was. And I wanted to sort of put that, and there's only so much you can say in an Instagram caption. Like there's me on my Instagram videos and it's getting like 6 minutes long. I'm like, who the fuck's watching this?
I know,
an Instagram caption is not long enough to get people through that experience. And so I really wanted to write a book because my experience, and like we were saying before, suicide's become almost like just accepted as happening. But you read my story, you read what happened that night, and you read what happened in the days and weeks afterwards, and you tell me that we can accept that happening, not just because someone's died, but the absolute agony that it puts on my mum, my dad, my brother, me, the trauma that still affects me today. I've had something like 6 months of counseling last year, getting so much out, there's still so much to get out, and so much of my life has been affected by that one moment. Mm-hmm. How can we accept 6,000 suicides a year? I saw one politician in lockdown, the rate of suicide hadn't increased, they put some tweet out, and it was actually in the paper as well, being like, job well done everyone. And I was like, that is so awful that we're celebrating a number that isn't zero. Mm. And so I wanted to write this book to sort of give people that insight, talk to people about, because I think the mental health conversation has become a little bit clouded with very pretty things.
It's a sexy term a little bit.
It is.
It's become a sexy term.
Yeah. Talk about it. Okay. Yeah. And so I wanted to go into that a little bit more, really teach people about my experience, really show people what this is like to experience. But then also, you know, I've learned so much about my own mental health. And almost for me, my book wants to fill that gap that I think schools don't fill, which is teaching people about emotions. And I do think this book could save lives. And from what I've heard from people so far, it's you know, it's certainly not be doing the opposite. It's not, not hurting anyone. And learning about mental health and really educating yourself on it. It might not even be something that you're conscious of needing to know about now, but you have a bad day, you have a divorce and you lose your job and you get thrown into that hole. That's when you need to know these techniques. That's when you need to know about it. And so this is why I think everyone needs to be prepared, not just the people that are unwell or struggling right now. It's everyone needs to know this stuff. And so that's where the title came from, because I was like, mate, not just this book could save your life, but this information and committing to learning this stuff, that could very, very easily save your life. And you might not even know that it might you don't know what's on the horizon, right? You don't know what you might need to know to overcome things. So
I think it's just
hoping that the title's correct.
I think that is freaking insane, man. I think it's amazing. I'm going to stop there for part one. I'm going to come back in part two because I want to talk to you more about grief.
Sure.
And how you deal with grief. Is that going to be okay?
That's going to be nice and fun, yeah.
Yeah, so come back for part two for a really fun part.
It's going to be a right laugh.
It's going to be a real big laugh. We'll
so we started part one talking about bloody moons and tides, and now we're going to talk about death, grief.
Yeah, straight into grief. Get ready for it. It's going to be great. We'll see you in part two, everyone. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.